Genesis 19, let's go to the Word of God, the 19th chapter in the first book of the Word of God. We're working our way through this passage of Scripture, following a child of God by the name of Lot in a place where he did not belong. 19th chapter in the book of Genesis. Let's pick up where we left off. And if we'll look at verse number 14, Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come hither. Therefore the name of that city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, we pray now that you bless the preaching of the Word of God. I pray, God, that you will cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing, hide me behind the cross of Christ. And I pray, God, that these would not just be words of history that one time happened, but that they may be words of reality that are happening this very day. Do a work in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In Genesis chapter 18, we'd followed Abraham and his relationship with God. We posed the question, what's it like to be the friend of God? I think we could conclude, after following Abraham through Genesis chapter 18, the way he and God work, beginning with him running to meet him in the first part of the chapter, and ending with him interceding with him on the behalf of somebody else, I think we'd all conclude it's pretty good to be the friend of God. We get to Genesis chapter 19, and Lot shows us something altogether different. Not what it's like to be the friend of God, but what it's like to be the friend of the world. We've not gotten all the way through chapter 19, but just in how far we've gotten, I think we could already conclude it's not only a good thing to be the friend of God, it's a bad thing to be the friend of the world. And we see two contrasts, stark, one chapter right after the other, that God sets before our eyes to let us know you're going to win being my friend and you're going to be losing being the world's friend. And both passages are written about saved people. He's Christian folk. Lot was a righteous man. Lot's in heaven tonight. Amen. But he chose to fly coach instead of first class. Let me tell you something. You're saved. You can never get unsaved if you tried. Somebody say amen. You're kept by power until the day of redemption, and you're going to be, that inheritance incorruptible is being reserved. And by the way, you're not still saved because you're a good person. You're not still saved because you're a great Christian. You're saved because the power that saved you keeps you saved. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm glad that when I got saved, I stayed saved. That doesn't mean you're living for God. Yeah, you can be saved and in the world. You can be saved and backslide. We just finished James chapter 5 last week. You can be saved and out of the will of God. And here's Lot, showing us all together different. In chapter 18, God's friend was there and God went to see him. In chapter 19, the world's friend was there. Two angels went and God said, I'm not going on this one. God was comfortable visiting Abraham. He was totally uncomfortable visiting Lot. Am I a friend of God or a friend of the world? Here's a good way to find out. Is God comfortable visiting you? Settled carnality. He sat at the gate. Sinful climate. Everything you can think of was going on in Sodom. But the highlight of sin was that of immorality and that of homosexuality going on right there with no restraint, with no fear. The Bible said the young and the old, they were all involved. There was Lot. Sitting right in the middle of it. At the gate. Friends with him. First name basis with him. Having run with him. And when Lot brought friends in town, his friends wanted to get with his other friends. And that's why, my friend, you're going to have to choose you this day whom you'll serve. You can't try to be both. It ain't going to work out good. And so this sinful climate is where Lot was. Last week we looked on further with a serious call. Here are the angels saying, you're settled in here. It's wicked in here. We've come to tell you get out of here. By the way, if you're a child of God living in worldliness, the charge, the call for you is pretty simple. Get out of there. I mean, if it's a worldly relationship, get out of there. If it's a worldly habit, get out of there. If it's a worldly lifestyle, get out of there. If it's worldly thinking, get out of there. If it's worldly appearances, get out of there. If it's worldly clothes, get out of them. Amen. That's Bible preaching. And yet, Lot wasn't ready. Notice they're standing outside the door begging for the angels to come out with them. And Lot's out there trying to reason. Are you listening to me? He's out there trying to reason. You say, what kind of reasoning does a child of God inundated in worldliness do? Well, he shuts the door and offers his daughters. See, when a Christian, hear me now, when a Christian starts drowning in worldliness, he not only loses his Christian sense, he even loses his common sense. Somebody say amen. I mean, listen to me. A lost man's smarter than a backslidden saved man. I mean, you can't find an unregenerate man that would offer up his daughters to be given to irrefutable, reprobate men. And yet here's a saved man. The New Testament tells us he's a righteous man, but he's so drowning in worldliness. His senses are blinded. His mind is desensitized. And instead of getting embarrassed, he offers his daughters. That's why you don't want to hang out in the world. And so the angels finally figure this boy ain't getting it done. So there's a strong pull. They yank him in the house. Amen. Thank God for the times in your life that he's yanked you in the house. Amen. Sometimes admit it now. There were times you're in church because you wanted to be there. The other times you're in church and God yanked you in there. Amen. Either way, it was good for you. Amen. Don't resist the yanking of God. He pulled him inside. Get in here, Lot. You're out there, you can't reason with the world. Hear me now, child of God. You can't, listen to me, young person. You can't reason with the world. You're going to live for God. You'll never convince the world to buy into godliness. The only way to buy into godliness is to be bought with a price, with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You can't take your godliness and try to legislate it in the world. They're of a different God. They're headed to a different place. They march to a different beat. Amen. So the strong pull takes place. Notice the supernatural power. They're smitten with blindness. Amen. God said, we're going to hold them off long enough for you to get yourself together. And notice what the Bible says in verse 12. Lot, have you any here besides? We're getting ready to destroy, right? We're letting you know we're getting ready to destroy. We're trying to ask you, do you have anybody here that you're concerned about? Son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, whatever you got, get them out of here. We're going to destroy. Verse 14, Lot went out and spake to them. Get out of here! Get out of here! The shameful perception is that he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You hear me now? You know where they were from? They were from Sodom and Gomorrah. They had married his daughters. The daughters didn't belong married to them. But you hang out somewhere long enough, you'll start hooking up with who you're hanging out with. Amen. The best thing to stop from falling in love with the wrong person is to not hang out in the wrong places. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Watch it, young people. Before long, you'll be out in the world. You'll be making your own decisions. And mom and dad will be telling you where to go and what time to come in. And you'll go pursuing things that look greener. And they look like they're more fun. And they look like there's more freedom over there. But eventually, you get yoked up with people that are no good. And when you start trying to turn your Christianity on their carnality, you're going to look like a fool. He seemed as one that mocked. We don't believe you, father-in-law. Where's your God been all this time? Get out of this place. Notice verse 14. The Lord will destroy it. The Lord will destroy it. You mean to tell us we're supposed to believe God told you anything? Come on. Nobody's going to listen to you about the Lord if you don't live like the Lord. Boy, if I could get Christian people to understand this, you'll never win anybody by being like them. You'll never win the world by doing what they do. We're living in a day and age where Christians have bought into every bit of worldliness that the devil puts on a silver platter, and it's a trick of the devil. It's a lie hatched in hell. You'll never win the world by running to their music, by wearing their clothes, by embracing their fads. They're not looking for more of the same. They're looking for somebody that's found something genuine, something authentic, something legitimate. Where is the light in the darkness and the salt in the blandness? Christians have acquiesced. And Lot tried it. And I'm here to tell you it didn't work. It was a shameful perception. Verse 14, 15, the morning arose. The angels are hastening him. Come on, Lot. Take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. I wrote down here, this is sovereign patience. God gave him overnight to get himself together. You realize God could have said, get out one time and destroyed Lot? Do you realize God could have destroyed Lot before he ever said, get out? Because before he ever said, get out, he had already told him not to get in. Yet he was patient. I could be preaching to somebody tonight who's hanging out in Sodom. Well, I didn't come to church on Wednesday night to get told about where I'm hanging out. Well, God brought you here to get you out of it. Some of you young people may not be in Sodom, but you may be trying to look for tickets. You might be calling Uber, trying to find out what metro stops to get you there, trying to jump out of a cab before you pay. See, Brother Peso laugh. He's done that before. He's from Baltimore. He made jumping out of the cab cool. These kids only know what cabs are. They ride Lyft and Uber. Now, we're laughing, but I preach teenagers all the time who are trying to find the quickest way to Sodom. I'm talking about from a Christian school seat. I'm talking from a godly home. I'm talking about two parents that love the Lord. Don't you think that every one of the Christian kids that are in Sodom have parents that dropped them off there? A whole bunch of them ran away. Amen. Because they thought the grass was greener. Listen tonight.
Lot is heralding from the first book in the Bible, not the fifth, not the fourth, not the third, not the second, the first book in the Bible. Before you can even get used to how the Bible sounds, God said, let me make it very clear, you'll never win in the world. Genesis. Do you see the digression of Lot? He didn't start in Sodom. He started being discontent with where he was. Then he looked towards Sodom. Then it looked well watered. Then he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Amen. And the devil will give you all kinds of means and media to get there. Amen. These smartphones are quick trips to Sodom. We wonder why these kids graduate and they fit in Sodom so well. They've been sightseeing on their smartphone. I don't know what happened. I woke up one day and my child was in Sodom. No, ma'am, he'd been there. Not just kids, but adults. They start looking at it. It looks better. See, be careful. Listen to me. Be careful if Christianity has become bored to you. That's the first step towards Sodom. We can't do nothing. We can't go nowhere. We can't. I can tell you just on the precipice of carnality. Because good Christians are never bored. Good. Listen, a good perception of Christianity is never tasteless. A good day in the Lord is more exciting than the best. Somebody help me preach. Best day in the world. Yep, but I hear it all the time. Christianity is robbing us of our joy. It's stealing our freedom from us. What Christianity are you talking about? I'm talking about peace and joy and contentment. I'm talking about direct access line to God, morning, noon, or day, or night. I'm talking about the promises of God that are yea and amen. I'm talking about a Bible that never changed. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost that'll never leave you. I'm talking about heaven that's your home, God your Father, Jesus your Savior, the Holy Ghost is your comforter. And I'm just getting started. We ain't even got to the main course. I'm just naming the appetizers. But when you start looking, that's where he is. And so they're trying to get him out of here. God's got sovereign patience with him. And then the Bible says, even while God's patient is saying, get out of here. Verse 16, notice the first four words of verse 16. And while he lingered. Difference between the friend of the world, friend of God. Remember Abraham? Now the angels that came with God to see Abraham, chapter 18, turned and walked away. Abraham tarried with God. What does a friend of God do? He lingers with God. What does a friend of the world do? Lingers with the world. How did I know if I'm a good Christian, if I'm a friend of God, when people can't pull you away from him? Come on, church is over. Yeah, but me and God still talking. A friend of God lingers with God. Friend of the world lingers in the world. That's why you kids, certain time of night, need to get in the house. Amen. Not just y'all. I don't want to pick it on y'all tonight. They're like, we on a senior trip. We obeying. Are you seniors? Juniors. All right. Good. Juniors. We didn't get a junior trip. Count your blessings. Spoiled brats. No, I'm just kidding. We got a senior trip. We can get a junior trip. You get a senior trip too? Where do you go for senior trip? Amen. You notice there wasn't black kids talking. I bet they walked in here tonight and they said, all right, if anybody say anything, you talk. They ain't gonna mess with you. Anyway, so it's all good in the hood. Anybody can talk. It's all good. It's all good. We're harder on black folks around here. Not easier. Amen. You know it too. You know any one of these ladies will put you over their knee, won't they? Beat the devil out of you like your mama did, right? Amen? Yeah, praise the Lord. Look at him. He's just about to cry just thinking about what his mama used to do to his backside. Bless his heart. What's your name?
I'm Zach.
Zach. Amen, Zach. Aren't you glad you don't get no more beatings? Hey, yeah, amen. All right, you want some. We got some good ones up in here. I guarantee you. One right there. That's my mama. Amen. She'll beat the devil out of you. Zach, you made me forget what I was talking about.
You're on a junior trip. We didn't get a junior trip. We just got a senior trip. Before long, you'll be out in the world. You'll be making your own decisions. There's nothing, listen, there's nothing going on out in the world in the middle of the night that's going to help you. By the way, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about kids, but you know, it's a lot of grown folk. A lot of grown folk running the streets in Sodom. I'm talking about grown saved folk. Amen. You can run in Sodom on Facebook too. Amen. Don't get quiet. You'll be giving yourself away. Lot, get out of here while he lingered. Shame. God's calling. And Lot won't leave. God's not a mean God. You look at Christian people who are under chastisement, who are subject to the wrath of God. And I hear saying, people have the nerves, I can't believe God would do that. Let me tell you something. Before God ever starts laying the smack down, he's calling. And yet folks are lingering. So he ignores the call. So he goes from a serious call to what I call a saving commission. God had to get him out of it because Lot wouldn't leave while he lingered. He wasn't cooperating with the leadership of God. He was lingering. Somebody pause and thank God tonight that even sometimes when you weren't moving God's direction, God pulled you out. Notice if you're taking notes tonight, this saving commission began first of all with a decisive move. While he lingered, the men laid upon his hand. Listen here, buddy. You're God's child. You don't belong here. And whether you want to leave or not, we're getting you out of here. By the way, we need Christian people that'll be like those angels. Amen. Quit worrying about hurting people's feelings and start worrying about saving people's lives. You have enough burden for your friends. Say, I'm not going to let you do that. You have enough burden for a church member. Say, I'm not going to let you act like that. By the way, if you want to wait on people to see things your way, to tell them what's right, don't hold your breath. You got to learn to stand on what's right, whether people agree with it or not. Pull him out. By the way, it's amazing. There's two angels there. And the Bible says they pulled out Lot, his wife, two daughters, two angels, two arms, four people. You think God knew what he was doing? Abraham said, if there's 10 righteous, there wasn't 10. Amen. There's only four they were able to pull. Amen. You go down to the world and bargain for what you need. They'll want you to follow them into Sodom, but they won't follow you out. Well, they got them husbands down there, didn't they? But those husbands wouldn't leave Sodom with their own wives. The devil doesn't care about you. He is not on your side. Did you buy into all that foolish? He is not on your side. Two angels, four arms, four people. Wow. Strong, strong, strong pull. Notice the decisive move. Notice, if you would, the divine mercy. The Bible says the Lord being merciful unto him. Somebody say amen. Amen. It is of his mercies that we're not consumed. Thank God he doesn't give us what we deserve. Thank God when we make wrong choices, he doesn't give us what we deserve. Thank God when we tarry in nonsense, he doesn't give us what we deserve. Thank God when the things of the world are more elusive and alluring than the things of God, that he doesn't give us what we deserve. Notice the decisive move was coupled with divine mercy. The Lord was merciful to him. Then notice the direct mandate. It brought him forth abroad and said, escape for thy life. 17. Look not what? Behind thee. We're in verse 17. Genesis 19. King James. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the. Escape to the. Lest thou. Okay. Get out of here, right? And on your way out, don't look back. Are you listening to me? Listen to the instructions, because they're the same ones God's given us today. Get out of here. And on your way, first of all, hasten. Hurry up and get out of here. And on your way out, don't look back. And once you get out, get away far. He said, don't just stay in the plane right outside the city. Get away from it. Now listen to me. Many Christians go back into the world because when they leave, they don't leave far enough. Boy, I wish I could convince people that the safest place in Christianity is always closest to God and furthest from the world. And yet, 21st century, 2018 Christianity, you know what it is? Serve God and be as close to the world as you can at the same time. Watch this now. Carry over as much from the BC days into the AC days. You know what I'm saying? Before Christ, after Christ. Now, get your ticket into heaven, but furnish your house from hell. And so much of what used to be distinctly worldly has now become acceptably Christian. I was telling somebody, it was you, wasn't it? Last night. He's shaking his head. He was going, man, I ain't never seen nobody just stick to the Bible so straight. I said, listen, I found out it works. Hallelujah. Now you're going to have a hard time convincing this preacher. Now, you get some of these other Christians in here that you might convince them. But you have a hard time convincing me that straight and narrow, separated and holy, doesn't work. Because not only have I watched it work, I've watched the contrary fail. And I went to school with some of them that are as saved as I am. But you wouldn't be able to tell it. Because they wanted, listen, I was driving up in Colorado several years ago preaching a singles conference, and they gave me a church van. I mean, ain't nothing worse than being up high on the mountain in a big old van. Give me a small car where half of it ain't gonna hang offside the mountain. But I'm driving down this big old van, driving down the mountain, no rails. And I didn't want to stay up there. So they gave me a bed and breakfast down at the bottom of the mountain. But I had to drive up there to preach in the morning, drive back down, and then drive back up there in the evening and drive back down. And I'm afraid of heights. The only good thing about driving at night was I couldn't see the heights that well. I'm going to tell you something. You know what I was not worried about, Christine? Getting dirt on the side of that van. I hugged that mountain as close as you could. You say, well, that's somebody else's property. Yeah, and this is me. I'm not trying to go over. I stayed as close to that mountain as I could. You know why? Because the closer I get to that edge, the more chance I have of falling over. Now I don't think that's that smart. I just think that's pretty much common sense. You already know where I'm going, don't you? So go ahead and say amen. I'm still going to go. Don't think you can get me from going just because you said it. Go ahead, Pastor. We agree with you. Now go to the next one. No, I'm going to say it. Why is it that Christianity wants to get so close to the edge? Now, I'm going to tell you something that your pastor believes, and you don't have to believe it, but I'm going to tell you. There are some things I've decided to do as a Christian that aren't necessarily commanded in the Bible, but they're closer to the mountain and further from the... Somebody help me. Now, you can call me crazy for doing them, but I could also call you crazy for getting close to the edge. Well, I just don't think anything's wrong with it. I don't think anything's wrong with not hugging the mountain. I just think it's ignorant if you don't want to die. I think you ought to stay close to the mountain if you want to stay safe. Now I'm going to ask you a question. If you're not living in Sodom, how far are you from it? Did you build your house on the edge? Are you trying to raise your children on the border of Sodom and safety? You put half of your house in Sodom and half of your house out of Sodom so your kids can run in both without leaving. Come on. Is mama in Sodom and daddy in out of Sodom? Are the weekends in safety and the weeknights in Sodom? Is Sunday school in safety and television in somebody? Listen, pastor, I don't understand. Listen to me. I'm watching them fall every week. Mamas and daddies are trying to get me to save them. How am I going to save them in 30 minutes when you have indoctrinated them for 24 hours and a half, 23 and a half hours? The world, the devil is a liar. Amen. The world is tricky. Listen. If it were not for a mama and a daddy that decided not only not to raise me in Sodom, but to raise me a long way away from it, I wouldn't be your pastor tonight. Now let me ask you a question. If it got me here, why in the world do you think I'm going to try something else? Amen. Or why in the world you think I'm going to let you get me to try something else? I mean, that'd just be foolish. I mean, what in the world would I just, listen, before you go tearing a fence down, you better find out why they put it up in the first place. Now, I'm telling you, I get the calls. I get the emails. I just had a conversation with that young man back there last night. He said, that's why I'm in this church. Because I want to find out why in the world you're so straight about the Bible. You know, he said, I've been to all the other churches where the pastors played both sides. They couldn't keep me there. Why I want to go to the church is no different than the world I hang in. Now, what about you? Get out of here, he says. Get your family out of here. Hollywood. Headquarters in Sodom. I said Hollywood. I'm talking about people make the movies. I'm talking about people come with television shows. Pastor, you're getting real narrow-minded tonight. If I had 20 more minutes, you might not stay. I'm tired of the moms that are crying their ears out. It breaks my heart to listen to them losing their children. Drowning in nonsense. Kids can't memorize scripture. They know every dance on the television. What's happening to our world? What's happening to the church? We expect them to act like that. I'm talking about righteous folk. Where are they learning it from? You better be careful where you let your kids go. You better be careful what you let go in their head. Once it's in, you can't get it out. Is it possible for us to be too careful? I don't think so. What a shame. The desired mitigation. Here's Lot. I'll close here. The direct mandate is get out. Get out fast. Get out far. Don't look back. Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight and has magnified their mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest of evil take me and I die. Now watch this. Now here he is on the precipice of dying, and he's giving the angels instructions. This is how you could kind of look at the story and say, he ain't going to make it. He's going to get out. We're watching a movie right here. He's going to get out. But Lot is one of these people. All he's trying to do is escape destruction. He's not trying to get right with God.
That's right.
Whenever I counsel somebody who's fallen into sin and they're reasoning and repentance cannot cohabitate.
I'm sorry for what I did, but make sure when you present my sorrow that you present it in this way.
Well, you don't set the stage. Repentance should never be dealing and wheeling. Well, I can't go there. I can't go to the mountain. Evil. Let me ask you a question. If God is good enough and strong enough to get you out of Sodom and Gomorrah and destroying you, don't you think he's good enough to keep you safe where he told you to go?
Amen.
Now, if you don't get right with God, what you need to do is you need to go back and ask forgiveness of that person, and you need to be faithful to church, and you need to read your Bible. Well, you know, if I go back to church and people are going to say, listen. Do you want to get right or you just want to get out? Go to the mountain. Why? Because that's where I told you to go. I'm sitting in the fire. It's God talking. I'm sitting in the fire. Don't you think I can make sure it doesn't go up where you're sitting? By the way, God made a provision here. I'm closing. This is the desired mitigation. He's trying to tone down the instructions of God. His intense plea is, don't make me go to the mountain. His insane panic is, if I go to the mountain, I'm not going to be safe. The incredible provision is, the angel says, I've accepted thee concerning this thing. I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Lot says, let me go to Zoar. It's a small city. It's a little one. Verse number 20. And then again in parentheses, is it not a little one? Be quiet, boy. He up there playing multiple choice with the angel. It's a little one. Do you think it's a little one? I think it's a little one. I think you're a little one, Lot. God let him go. We're going to read next week. He went where God let him go, but he didn't last. I wonder what would happen to Lot if he'd gone to the mountain. You think God intended for Lot's story to be horrible when he got him out of Sodom? No. The Bible tells us that God wants us to come back to him. I mean, if everybody that goes astray dies astray, then what is Luke 15 doing in the Bible? Bring forth the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, a robe on his back. This my son was dead and is now alive again. Why? How'd the prodigal son go home if everybody that goes out never makes it back? No. But he came out reasoning. I'm leaving Sodom, but I'm not going to where you call safety. Maybe. Maybe God's trying to get you out of mess. You ever been in mess? Have you ever been in mess? Okay. God wants you out. But you got to get out his way. And he doesn't just want you out of some place. He wants you in another place. Amen. You can't just get out of sin. You need to get in church. In the Bible. You don't just get out of bad relationships. You need to get in good relationships. Amen. You don't need to just quit being disrespectful. You need to start being respectful. Amen. You don't just need to get off of Facebook. You need to get your face in the book. You've got, listen, you can't just get out of bad stuff. You got to get in good stuff. And you can't be making detours. Listen, you're not spiritual enough to tell God where you should go when you aren't even out of Sodom yet. I don't know how we get off coaching God in delivering us. Thank you, deliverer. But while you deliver me, it might be wiser for you to deliver me here, because the fire that you're sending may not hit me here as it would where you're telling me to go. How crazy is that? And yet that's where Lot went. What a sad, sad scene. Well, I won't mess with it. I was going to tell you about the... Never mind. If I say it, I'll have to expound upon it. And I need about 29 minutes to do that. So come back next week. Y'all come back next week? Zach, I want you back next week. You understand me? Understand me. I'm not finished with you. I look back, and I don't feel like I missed anything. But I know a bunch of kids in my school who got everything they wanted, and now they can't find anything they need. Now you have to determine. You're going to have to determine as a parent. You're going to have to determine as a husband, as a wife, as a church member, as a choir member, as a leader. The Christian life is not so basic that you just got to determine where you're going to live in Sodom or in Satan. You not only going to have to, good Christians and real good Christians and great Christians don't just determine not to live in Sodom. They determine how far they're going to move from Sodom. So maybe tonight you need to quit settling for the fact you've got a safe address. You may need to uproot where you're living and move further out. Because when trials come, the temptation of the devil is always to get you going to the closest wrong place. And if your house is in proximity to Sodom, you and your saved self just might end up there. And you might be like Lot's wife and never make it out. Father, help us. I wish to God we could convince people of God to stay away. It is so deadly and so unnecessary. We don't have to go. We don't have to stay. We don't have to move. Abraham didn't put him out. Abraham said, you can choose. Lot chose to go. Nobody ever ends up in worldliness uncontrollably. It's a choice. Help us to choose righteously, to parent righteously, to pastor righteously, to serve righteously. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together.